I'll be a witness for it.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is June 11th, not July 11th. We would not be here.
Yes, we would.
Or would we?
We'll be here.
Eventually. June 11th, 2015, and this is the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. I am going to go out of order and open a public hearing on 2423.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a housekeeping bill that was requested by the Department of Corrections. It clarifies a couple of things, and we have Ms. Heidi Stewart signed up to testify, and she can explain it better than I can.
Good afternoon, members of the committee, Co-Chair Williamson. For the record, my name is Heidi Stewart. I'm the Assistant Director of the Offender Management and Rehabilitation Division with the Oregon Department of Corrections, and I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2423 and answer any questions you may have. House Bill 2423 would make life sentences for murder and aggravated murder ineligible for earned time sentence reduction. It would also remove the 60 days earned time for completion of education credentials. This concept stems from a 2013 Oregon Supreme Court decision in Engweiler versus the Oregon Department of Corrections that opened the door to require the department to calculate earned time against the prison term set by the Board of Parole on life sentences for murder and ag murder. This goes against the logic that the board still maintains the authority to determine when an adult in custody serving a life sentence should be released. By amending statute to exclude murder and aggravated murder sentences from earned time consideration, the Board of Parole can continue to establish the appropriate and meaningful prison terms without the confusion caused by adding the application of earned time credit for those prison terms. So this bill will also remove the 60 days earned time credit for completion of education. This came out of 2008 legislation and was aimed at providing an incentive for those that completed education programs. And there are three issues with that. Incarcerated men and women already receive earned time credit for completing education. They can earn that every 6 months. So this is redundant. And the only way to apply these 60 days is to backfill against prior noncompliance. And then lastly, the data shows that this incentive really hasn't worked as an incentive since our education completion numbers have not gone up since the implementation of this. So House Bill 2423 has a very small fiscal impact that can be absorbed by the department. We're not requesting any additional funding for this bill. Because of this, the department asks that the committee vote a House Bill 2423 out of committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Questions? All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to testify? All right. With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2423, and we will stand at ease. All right, sure. We're back on the record. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2423. Oh, wait, we're going to, never mind. I'm going to close the work session.
No, wait,
I'm going to open the work session on, what's the budget bill number?
5504.
Mm-hmm.
5504. I'm doing double duty.
Okay, now you can go. Thank you. Ms. Gilbert.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am starting on work session page 5. I finally have a page numbering system for work sessions now that I am running my last budget in here. Work session page 5 is the LFO 102 work session presentation report, first page. The recommended budget for the Department of Corrections is $1,558,701,370 in general fund. That is 7.6% higher than the 1315 legislatively approved budget. It is 0.3% less than current service level. The reduction, the net reduction, is $5.3 million, and it's a lot of money, but it still is only 0.3% of current service level. Moving to the next page, Operations Division. This division is 46% of the total agency general fund. There will be three packages. The first is Package 102, Staff Wellness. It provides 33 correctional officers, and by adding this number of officers, the department can achieve a post-relief factor of 1.72, as recommended by a recent Association of State Corrections Administrators study done in Oregon. The total amount is $5,155,847, and it's 33 positions, 30.25 FTE, as they are assumed to start on September 1. Package 801, LFO Analyst Adjustments, has three pieces. The first is a reduction of $13.3 million in recognition of statewide general fund resources. The second is a technical adjustment reflecting an internal rebalancing on print services costs. The costs will be centralized in administration. In operations, the reduction is $878,430 general fund. Services and supplies, the administration division will be increased by the same amount. You will see a similar package to this in seven divisions in total. So we'll go over it faster as we get to it the next six times. Number three, a new projection of inmate work programs revenues anticipates an increase of $3.6 million other funds in 2015-17. And that is also shown there. So the net of this package is minus $10,575,222. Package 802, April 2015 population forecast. This package adjusts the operations budget to accommodate an increased caseload in the April 2015 population forecast prepared by the Office of Economic Analysis. The increase is in comparison to the April 2014 forecast, which formed the basis for the department's current service level budget. And this package will appear in six divisions total. There's also a budget note, which I will cover separately when we get back to the memo. So the caseload adjustment in operations is $2,785,534. Next division, central administration. And on work session page 11, package 117, this is a technical adjustment to enable the department to conform to Oregon accounting recording requirements. There's some federal funds limitation, $122,683. Next, package 801 LFO adjustments, two parts. The first is the rebalancing of print services we saw before. The second is a technical adjustment that corrects an unintentional shift of $515,665 general fund from health services to central administration. This reverses that. Package 802, population forecast for central administration. The amount is $263,763 general fund. Next is the general services division. It has three packages. The first is package 105, inmate thin client network replacement. Package covers the cost of life cycle replacement of the thin client equipment that inmates use. The network of thin client equipment provides intranet access to law library and educational materials for inmates. It does not provide access to the internet. The department requested this fund package be funded by bonding as it falls more appropriately to cyclical replacement. The LFO recommends general fund to support the package at $623,175. And on June 9th, the Information Technology Subcommittee of Ways and Means recommended that this package be supported. Next package is 801, and this is the print services rebalance package again. Package 802, April 2015 population forecast for general services. The amount is $204,823 general fund. In human resources, the next division, there is one package. It is the LFO analyst adjustment, and again, it's rebalancing print services costs. Next is community corrections. It is a total general fund budget of $267,719,734. This is 17% of the general fund budget. It's an 11.8% increase over 13-15. It is a 1.2% decrease from current service level. There are three packages. The first is Community Corrections Senate Bill 267 Program Evaluator. It establishes a permanent program evaluator position and responsible to evaluate program services, systems, and program effectiveness in accordance with evidence-based standards. Funding is provided by shifting general fund from special payments to personal services, so it's net zero funding. Package 801, two parts. The package reduces general fund by $5,150,000. This reduction does not affect the grant and aid for basic current service level community corrections work. In other words, the reduction would not trigger opt-out possibilities. Second part is the rebalancing of print services. Total package minus $5,171,272 general fund. Package 802, April 2015 population forecast adjustment in community corrections, it's $1,805,946. In health services, which is 14% of the general fund budget and is $233,409,119. That's an 11.9% increase over 2013-15 and a 0.8% increase over current service level. The first package, 101, electronic health records, was the agency's highest priority. The conversion of inmate health records is needed to ensure easier access to the data, provide a link between pre- and post-prison health care services, and to reduce storage space needed for paper records. The project is in the concept phase, and so the LFO is recommending an appropriation of $500,000 general fund and an incremental conditional approval of the full package, with the department returning in the 2016 legislative session to report progress and seek additional funding. This is consistent with the June 9th, 2015 recommendation of the Ways and Means Information Technology Subcommittee. Package 114, Health Services. This is another net zero dollar package that adds four positions to enhance the agency's ability to meet increasing mental health demands. The positions include a position for intake and behavior health services, manager specific to the intensive care housing mental health unit at Oregon State Penitentiary, and a training manager specifically to oversee the substantive increase in training volume and complexity resulting from the latest Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders number 5, and a QMHP to deal with developmental disability population within DOC. Package 801, three parts. It is added in recognition of statewide general fund resources. It assumes a $1.7 million general fund reduction. It also includes a technical adjustment for rebalancing print services costs, and a second technical adjustment picks up the $515,665 general fund that inadvertently went away for a while. Package 802 is the health services portion of the population forecast increase, $2,728,310 general fund. We are in offender management and rehabilitation next. There are three packages. Package 115 is another net zero package that picks up two positions in education and training. Package 801 is a technical adjustment for print services costs, and package 802 is the April 2015 population forecast increase of $778,642 general fund. Debt service is the next division. There is no change. It's $127,875,000. There is in capital improvements the next page, $2.7 million, no change. Capital construction, page 32 of 32, or work session page 36. Package included a request for $14,220,432 in Article 11 Q bond proceeds to continue working at the department's backlog of deferred maintenance. It addresses 25 priority one statewide deferred maintenance projects, and it has cash requirements of $10.6 million in 15-17, $2 million in 17-19, and the remainder in 19-21. LFO recommends the Capital Construction Subcommittee consider this package for full bond funding with a sale date in the spring of 2017, and this concludes the LFO work session part of the presentation.
Questions?
Senator?
Package 102. I'm going to apologize to the committee. I've been distracted by a $30 billion budget I have at another committee that I'm the chair of, so I've been a little tied up. And this budget has been put together very carefully. A lot of hard work's gone into it, and I appreciate that work by our co-chairs and by the members here. 102 really troubles me. Yeah. We heard really solid testimony about the stress on correction officers, their degree of depression. And frankly, the ratio of correction officers to prisoners to me was actually shocking. We've had one prison riot in this state, which no one wants to talk about. It happened at OIA down in Grants Pass. It's been carefully covered up and discussed at a very low level. And that was just a bunch of kids getting out of hand with a lack of personnel there to handle the situation. I don't know what would happen at one of our major correction facilities if 250 inmates rioted and there was one or two people there to stop it. I can't imagine what that would be like, especially considering that some of these institutions are in rural areas. What stopped the riot in OYA was people coming in from the Grants Pass police force. I'm not sure what would happen in a bigger facility in a smaller community. I'm really concerned that we only put 33 people in here. They asked for, I think, around 100. Is that correct? We only funded 33 for $5 million. In my mind, Corrections is running the biggest mental health facility we have in the state. About a third of the people here are mentally ill. I think some of them are probably pretty unstable. And yet, we're dumping tons of money in AMH. That's our program for mentally ill people at a community level. And you don't want to know the numbers in the state hospital. They're astronomical. And we're talking about putting more into those systems when we don't even know if they work. I would personally rather take $5 million out of my budget in AMH and put it into this budget and get another 33 and start bringing this down. I also have a question, LFO, and considering the cost of these workers, did it reduce overtime at all? And if it did reduce overtime, was that in the budget note or in the package for what it would cost to buy 33 positions?
Senator Bates, there is not a reduction to overtime in the budget.
So the overtime is expected to continue despite this number?
Generally, the overtime budget is overcome. Yeah. They go over their overtime.
We would like
budget.
To overcome it.
Yeah.
So when you computed the numbers, do you think this is going to reduce overtime at all, or is this such a small number of people being added back in that just doesn't make much difference?
It should make some difference, but I'm not sure how much.
How much money are we spending in overtime for corrections right now, do you know?
There's a hand up. Yeah.
Please come forward. Director, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee. Thank you, Senator Bates, for your question. I did a little research since you and I last spoke. The reason it's not offset in the fiscal, excuse me, thank you, Representative. For the record, I'm Colette Peters, Director of the Oregon Department of Corrections. The reason it's not offset in the fiscal is because, as Ms. Gilbert said, we overspend in our overtime budget. So in this biennium, and these are approximate dollar amounts, we're budgeted about $15 million for overtime, and we're projected to spend about $26 million this biennium. So while we anticipate a reduction in overtime, we don't anticipate that it will take us under budget. We intend to spend less with additional staff, but we don't anticipate that it would take us underneath that $15 million number of which we've been budgeted. I hope that helps.
Follow-up question.
Actually, could I jump in? So it's at 26 now. What do you think it will be with 33 new staff?
Mr. Co-Chair, I don't have those estimates.
Senator Bates. That was my question, of course. Okay. what we need is a cost analysis here, I believe, Mr. Chair. Would you tell us where the tipping point is here? If you add 60, you gain back enough in the overtime to cover the cost, or do you need to put a little bit more in it? And that's regardless of what it does for the employees and what it does for the correction officers. I'm having a continuing conversation of this. I already talked to you off-site about this. I am going to give you a courtesy yes on this, knowing that we're going to have a further discussion in the next week. I've already obviously started the discussion with the co-chair. I believe there might be enough cost savings here to cover some of this, and if we need to bring some money over from AMH, we should. AMH is heavily funded. They wouldn't say so, but I believe they're heavily funded, and I'm not certain where those dollars are going. I feel much more comfortable where they're going in corrections.
Thank you.
Fair enough. Any other discussion? Representative Gorsuch.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to support what Senator Bates said. I think that the staffing levels they're too low. And anything that we can do to bring those up, I would wholeheartedly support. I will vote for this today, but I'm in the same camp.
Representative Wisnett, I was presented with an option about a budget note, and I think that we do need to look at the funding. I've been in a lot of our facilities, and I think it scares me when I go in there and see the number of officers and the number of inmates. So I would hope that the co-chairs would talk to the chairs and see if this could be moved. Mr. Co-Chair, I had a couple real quick questions to Mrs. Gilbert. You did state that the money for community corrections they're happy. We're not going to have any op-outs, and that what kind of increase was it? Is this the 3%, the current service level? Is that what they're getting? They are getting some more. Is it that you don't have to give the exact number, but they are getting more money?
Representative Wisnant, they are, despite a reduction in general fund of $3.4 million, they're at $267.7 million, which is an 11.8% increase over 2013-15.
Okay, thank you. I have, Mr. Kutcher, one other quick question. You know, we had an option package. We added 2.7. Mr. Kutcher, Ms. Gilbert and I, before the session started, were asking if we have enough sufficiency in here for the medical treatment for the hepatitis C that we had to add this time, and she thinks we have because it went from 14 to 7, just put that on the record. But I wonder, how much does the department budget per inmate per health service? Is it a number? Do they give you like $100 per inmate per year is that, or 2 years, the budget? Because we just added $2 million more for the caseload. So you could, should be, if I had the numbers, I could divide up. Or
can we bring up DOC?
Mr. Co-Chair, I stepped away too soon. Forgive me. Again, for the record, Colette Peters, Director of the Department of Corrections. So the way that we project for future biennium funding for health services, we look at current service level and then look at standard inflation for health services. So it isn't a...
Is there a question? Is there a number for inmate?
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Wisnant, there is not, because it varies per inmate. So we don't spend the exact same amount on each inmate. As an example, those who are elderly or part of our geriatric population are far more expensive than those younger offenders who are 18 to 24. So we've stayed away from an average cost per inmate. But I do know that when we talked about this in the healthcare task force, there was a statistic out there that said the average American spends about $700 a month on their healthcare. And at the Oregon Department of Corrections, it was approximately $500 per offender.
That was number. Thank you. Yes. Right. Since the director's here, Mr. Co-Chair, could you confirm then, because we did do the adjusted the budget for 13-15, that you think this budget will accommodate the increased money for the hepatitis C treatment and everything?
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Wisnant, we do. We do believe that it will cover the anticipated cost for 15-17. The reason we were surprised this year is because the drug came in and we were actually able to treat people faster than we anticipated.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Director.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? I think we're ready for a motion, aren't we, Linda?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5504.
Senator Wisnant has moved the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5504. Is there any discussion?
I'm going to give you a courtesy yes.
Got it.
I think we need to look very carefully at the $5 million going into this and see if we can cut $5 million more out of overtime and get 35 more employees in here and have something like start working. If we can cut just $5 million out of that $26 million, we could balance the budget and get more employees. I think we need to explore that very carefully. I will take that off for you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you for your courtesy vote.
Any further discussion? Senator's comments.
Yeah, as do I.
Okay, but you're all voting yes, right?
Yes.
All right. Seeing any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Linda.
We move next to work session page 38, which is key performance measures. There is one LFO recommendation, KPM number 10, percent of inmates who successfully complete transitional leave. The LFO recommends increasing the target to 90% in view of recent actual outcomes. And that ends KPMs.
All right. Representative Wisnant.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Representative Wisnant has moved the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So moved.
I'm returning to work session page 2 in the memo to the budget note. There is one proposed budget note. I will read as fast as I can. The Office of Economic Analysis produces a semi-annual Oregon Corrections Population Forecast that provides the Oregon Department of Corrections with projections of the monthly offender population over a 10-year period. Based on the April 2015 OEA forecast, the estimated inmate population suggests that DOC can continue housing its female population in the designated women's facility, Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, CCCF, until March 1, 2019. After this date, the female population will begin averaging 1,280 females, which will be beyond what CCCF can effectively and safely manage. At that point, DOC will need to activate the Oregon State Penitentiary Minimum Security Facility, OSPM, for females. DOC estimates it will take 6 months to operationalize OSPM with a one-time startup cost of $3,820,125 and an ongoing biennial operational cost of $14,064,245. Despite what the forecast predicts, the female population has averaged 1,272 inmates for the last 6 months of the 13-15 biennium. In addition, while the April 2015 forecast estimates the female population to average below 1,280 during the 15-17 biennium, the average is just 19 inmates below the 1,280 threshold. The margin for error in the female population is uncomfortably small. Activation of OSPM may be needed before March of 2019. Based on this concern, the legislature developed the following budget note. The Department of Corrections, in coordination with the Office of Economic Analysis, shall provide interim reports to the legislature on the status of the female population and, if deemed necessary, request funding support for the early activation of the Oregon State Penitentiary Minimum Security Facility. These status reports and potential funding requests will be submitted for review and approval at each meeting of the Interim Joint Ways and Means Committee throughout the 2015-17 biennium.
All right. Representative Wisnett.
Mr. Kocher, I move the LFO recommended budget note.
Representative Wisnett has moved the LFO recommended budget note. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Linda.
Recommended changes to the appropriation bill. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $1,558,701,370 general fund, $38,790,101 other funds, $5,710,107 federal funds, 4,522 positions, 4,478.83 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5504 be amended accordingly. The content of the amendment is listed in your memo.
Is that number right, 4,522 positions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope so. Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, so are we ready for an amendment?
Mr. Kocher, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5504.
Representative Wisnett has moved the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 5504. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved.
Mr. Kocher, I move Senate Bill 5504 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnett has moved Senate Bill 5504 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Courtesy votes noted, and the motion carries. No objections.
Carry it in full.
I'll carry it in full. And on the House side?
I'll do it unless Representative Williamson wants to do it.
Okay. Representative Wisnett is the carrier on the House side. So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 5504 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2423.
We had the public hearing, so we can open a work session.
I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2423 and open a work session on House Bill 2423. Linda.
The fiscal impact of this bill is $52,711 general fund to the Department of Corrections in 2015-17 and 2017-19. The department is able to absorb this cost. There is no amendment.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2423 to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnett has moved House Bill 2423 to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved.
Carriers.
Let's see. I'd be happy to carry it in the...
I can't do it in full for it.
Yeah, I'll carry it in the full. And anybody want to carry this on the... You were in the Judiciary Committee, right?
Judiciary, but not in.
Would you carry it on the floor? Okay. And Representative Krieger will be the carrier on the House side. Anything else for the good of the order? I'll close the work session on House Bill 2423. Any news for us as far as scheduling is concerned?
Let's see. This is Thursday. On Monday the 15th, you should be working the DOJ budget. And we should be working House Bill 2356, which is, it'll be, it's a DOC policy bill. And I've forgotten what it's about.
Yes. The main thing
I'm
is we gotta,
you do too.
We have
two work sessions.
We have to be here Monday.
Yeah.
Right? All right. This meeting is adjourned. Right? All right. This meeting is adjourned.
Two work sessions.
We have to be here Monday.